123. Welcome to the W5VSA repeater. BL-123.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV-5-Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1590, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, December the 4th at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, who are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. And the PL tone is 123.0. And I will now take local check-ins.
Good evening, WD5JRD. Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta.
Good evening, Carl. You got a good loud signal tonight. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. We got anybody else out there? Okay, well, we're going to start here with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. I know the last couple of weeks we've talked a little bit about the CubeSat simulator, and sounds like Walter managed to get a hold of one. So here's a little update here from Walter, K5WH. It says a very small number of us were fortunate enough to score on the CubeSat simulator sale that took place last week from AmSat. It took me a couple of hours to get it all together between other interruptions, but this thing is a really neat project that will prove extremely nice for real-life demonstrations of what's possible for us today. Being able to switch between the multiple modes for APRS, FSK telemetry, BPSK telemetry, SSTV, CW, and even voice as well is a perfect example of several of the satellites we interact with every day. Being able to switch between, it's a great way to test out all your application software for decoding all these different modes for when the real birds are flying by us. When you can see and hold the full-scale model in your hand, it really drives home how amazing this technology is for tiny little things flying above us and can be worked so easily. Attached is a pic of what the completed thing looked like, and it's a neat little pic there. Looks like a CubeSat with little solar panels and little VHF rubber duckies, a couple of them sticking out the side there. He said, the kit sold from AmSat. It wasn't cheap. It was $400, but there's no soldering involved. It's just a little time and patience putting all the boards on the stack, mounting it into the 3D printed frames and putting the screws together and attaching the solar panels. Did all the best from Walter, K5WH. So we appreciate that from Walter. Okay, and then let's see. Actually, Walter says he also has a CubeSat simulator light version that runs on a Pi Zero that does most of the same functions and is very much smaller, probably a lot cheaper, and so that sounds like a good alternative that at least was available at some point, but maybe, who knows, could be back in the future. We also also have an update here on BLT 138, and see, it is back. It's over, actually past Hawaii, coming across the Pacific, and looks like it will be in a couple of days back over the Houston area again, crossing back over if it still continues to be going at that point. So we will be then saying congratulations on a trip around the world. So we'll see. We got, I think his projected time was the night time for the 5th. So we'll stay tuned. I know the winds aren't around there off of Hawaii aren't always the greatest. Sometimes it bounces around over there a little bit. And also, for the South Texas Balloon Launch Team, they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. Okay, looks like that'll be a week from tomorrow. And, of course, that's at 4:30 p.m. They usually have a meeting here at a local restaurant. And then at 8 p.m., they have a meeting on Zoom. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter doing that for us and keeping those balloons going up, keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team alive. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. You can call and check into the net. Quick phone check in to 713-467-9870. You can also check in via email, and that's to wv@comcast.net. And findu.net does not seem to be working at the moment, so I don't think we can actually take any APRS check-ins at the moment, but hopefully they will be getting that back online. Alright, we'll go over here to ANS Bulletin, and this is ANS Bulletin number 336 from the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletin. AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators. Share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. Okay, you can also sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletin via the ANS list and join the list. You go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/list/ans.amsat.org.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, item number one, we've got AMSAT Oscar 7 50th anniversary code store breaking new ground. There's always been a fascination among radio amateurs in digital modes of communication. And thinking about where this spacecraft sits in electronic history, it is all too easy to forget that it was designed at least 3 years before the appearance of the first 8-bit microprocessor. At that time, the notion of packet communication was still nearly 10 years into the future. The team wanted to demonstrate that they could store data at will on a spacecraft in transit across the sky and then download it at another location. They wanted to demonstrate non-real-time digital communications to themselves and to the world.
TL-123.
Jan King, W3GEY, AMSAT Oscar 7 Project Manager, explained, thinking in retrospect that experiment wasn't the best it could have been. However, it was simple and it proved our resolve. The entry in 1972 on AO6 and then again in 1974 on board AO7 with a demonstration experiment we called Code Store. And it did lead to far more ambitious packetized store for data satellites in our future. He says it probably wasn't the best choice at the time, but we chose the command frequency for the uplink. This meant we didn't have to implement yet another receiver. However, this made the experiment far less accessible to hands than it could have. AMSAT did not want to share the knowledge of the command frequency and codes with anyone who didn't have a need to know them. Plus, Code Store was not an experiment that was shared with everyone, as were the communications transponders. It could realistically only be used by authorized command stations. We had hoped for a universal store and forward demonstration, but was in fact created as a broadcast tool, and in that regard, Code Store was very successful. Code Store was the brainchild of and was designed and fabricated by John Good, W5CAY. In one small module, he housed an AFSK decoding system, which allowed uplink data to be clocked into a long shift register containing 896 bits. This was done with the memory ICs of the day. What one could imagine then was 14 ICs, each containing 64 bits of serial data storage. The contents of the shift register was sequentially downlinked first in, first out, as FIFO, to the selected beacon when Code Store was commanded to the run mode. This number of bits is divisible by 8, so one might have expected that a downlink message of 112 8-bit words. No, this was 1974, so Morse code messages were downlinked. The idea was more individuals can copy a message if they don't need specialized decoding equipment. King adds, no one can deny that we could have made a better go of it if the notion of a remote terminal digital communications goal had remained pure, but it did not. Ultimately, its highest value was discovered to be to store the spacecraft's NORAD TLEs, as well as any critical AO7 operating schedule modifications, which might be of importance to the users. Code Store was already available for use on AO6, so users were already expecting this feature, which appeared regularly on the beacons. While Code Store was used on both AO6 and AO7 to demonstrate non-real-time communications via satellite, it was never used by independently remotely located stations to demonstrate two-way communications in that way. Memory facilitates required onboard, and the lack of any firmware that even approached the capabilities of a file handling system did not exist in 1972 to 1974. That would have to wait for another day when, once again, four AMSAT spacecraft in a small constellation would demonstrate a proper store and forward packet handling system. That was to occur in 1990. Code Store went into service as a broadcast device allowing users to receive in Morse code the latest thin NORAD TLEs. Code Store was a complete success. It saved command stations a tremendous amount of work, avoiding the need for a global network of operators who would otherwise be needed to relay the same data. Persons wanting to read more about the life and story of AMSAT Oscar 7 are invited to visit www.amsat.org/amsat-ao-7-a-50-year-anniversary. And that 50 is written out as F-I-F-T-Y. And we want to thank Jan King, W3GEY, AMSAT Oscar 7 Project Manager, for that information. And we want to thank Bruce Page, KK5VO, for putting this information out on the website, the links there. So if you want to check out any of these articles or these things where they take you a little bit deeper into the facts, you can just go to our website over at www.amsatnet.com. And click on the link Bruce has made there available, and you can go right to these links if you're interested. Okay, this is Marty, V5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net, and we're a little bit past the hour. We're going to take a quick look around and see who we've got checking in here via some of our other means. We haven't heard from Charlie in a few days. We'll have to see how he's doing. K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. So appreciate it when we get to check in with him there, see how everything's going. Let's see. Dale, WD0AKO, over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we sure do appreciate him doing that for us. We've used it in the past. And then we've got Vern, WH0RCR. He's out there in Wentzville, Missouri, and he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern doing that for us. And let's see. We've got Kai in 6ZZO. He's our podcast listener, or one of them, and he checks in there via the phone line, and he's out there in McKinleyville, California, at the very western coast at the top of the state, so appreciate that when we hear from Kai. Okay, like I said, FindU doesn't seem to be working, so we're not taking any APRS check-ins tonight. But see, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, KAWX. Over on Echo Link, we've got Walter, K5WH, and good evening to Walter. I hope he's having fun there playing with that CubeSat sim. We've got Mitch, AB0HJ, and he's over there in Jackson, Minnesota, and I'm sure he's experiencing lots of snow right now. I hope he's being able to deal with that. And of course, thanks to Mitch, there's the Wednesday night AMSATnet that takes place over on DMR. That's on the AMSAT Digital Talk Group, DMR 98006, or YSF Fusion 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch putting on that Wednesday night AMSAT net there for us. And yes, Mitch verifies that they did get snow yesterday, and it did get very cold.
CL-123.
Okay, we want to say hello to Andrew, KC5LWI. He's down there in Galveston, and so I hope he's having a good evening this evening. Staying warm down there. It is finally cooler also here in Houston. I think we've only got like 60 degrees right now, burr. And I think on Thursday it's supposed to even get colder. Good evening to him. Welcome to the Houston AmSatNet. And then there's also NBOP, N6UTC, and he's over there in Long Beach, California. So good evening, NBOP. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. And let's see, we've got the Groupmaster map satellite top 100 rovers, the December 2024 rankings. December 2024 rankings for the top 100 rovers, and this is mixed of low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary in satellite operations as determined by @Gridmaster map on X has been released. The ranking is determined by the number of grids and DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where the maximum number of QSOs logged on the gridmaster.fr website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. And satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world's satellite contacts to gridmaster.fr in order to provide more accurate data. Okay, the number one position, we've got NV9M. Congratulations. Okay, then we've got NJ7H, JA9KRO, UT1FG, N5UC, DL6AP, OE3SEU, WI7P, DP0POL, K5ZM, K5BMJ, N6UA, HA3FOK, YV7AA, N9IP, W5FG, PFG. Okay, one of our illustrious leaders there. And then we got AKHCW, DL3GRC, AD0DX, LU5ILA, M4AKB, WD9EWK, and 22. We've got ND0C, and there's Mitch, AD0HJ, and 24. And then 25 is DJ8MS. Alright, let's see here, 26 through 50, we've got KX9X, ON4AUC, KG5CCI, N5DO, KABL, KE4AF, FHK, BE3HLS, KI0KB, KI7UNJ, LA9XGA, PA3GAN, JO2ASQ, VF4BKV, BA1PK, N7HEF, BK5DG, BA3BGR, XE3DX, KE0WPA, PR8KW, K7TAB, KE0PBR, AC0RA, and W7WGC. Okay, say that 10 times fast. Okay, then we've got positions 51 through 75. We've got N6BNM, JK2XXK, EV1AO, AE4NF, SM3NRY, JL3RNZ, DF2ET, XE1ET, AA5PK, KI7QEK, ST5XSD, F4DXD, AD7BB, DE1CWJ, KE9AJ, DL4EA, NA2RO, VA7LM, KM4LAO, M1BDD, W8LR. Okay, and then in position 72, we've got W1AW, we've got N4UFO, HB9GWJ, and PT2AP. Okay, and for the last quarter of the list, we've got LU4JVE, AA8CH, VE1VOX, FG8OJ, PT9BM, KJ7NBY, KI7UXT, YU0W, KB2YSI, N6UTC, hey, there's NDOF. We've got N4DCW, WA9JBQ, JM1CAX, DE3GOP, N0TEL, KG4AKV, WA8MTB, K0FFY, CU2ZG, B7PTN, K6VHF, AF5CC, BE6WK, DK9JC, and BG7QIW. Okay, let's see. We want to thank the @GridmasterMap for that information. All right, there's only a few weeks left, and the 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are gone. So you can still help support Golf and Fox Plus and get this version of the coins. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. And just think how great these coins would look just sitting there on top of your CubeSat sim. Okay, Japan launches its world's first wooden satellite to test timber in space. What these people want to do, let me tell you. Okay, Japanese researchers launched the world's first wooden satellite, LignoSat, into space, marking an ambitious step towards exploring the viability of timber for lunar and Martian construction. This pioneering satellite, developed collaboratively by Kyoto University and Sumitomo Forestry, was sent to the International Space Station aboard its SpaceX mission from NASA's Kennedy Space Center on November the 4th, 2024. Once at the ISS, LignoSat will be released into an orbit approximately 400 kilometers or 250 miles above Earth. Okay, sorry, all I can think of is Groot being sent out as a satellite. Okay, LignoSat, a one-year satellite CubeSat, carries an amateur radio mission that will extract cube call sign from the FM packet data signals uplink and respond to them by using the CW downlink with their call signs. An educational mission is to educate students to learn about the characteristics of a satellite by acquiring its housekeeping data, such as the internal temperature, the strain of the wooden structure, and the Earth's magnetic field, and calculating the rotational direction and rate of the satellite, as well as observing the effect of the space environment on the wooden structure.
The
satellite is name derived from the Latin word for wood is a compact palm-sized structure. LignoSat's mission is to demonstrate the potential of wood as a sustainable and durable material for space exploration. Takao Doi, a former astronaut and a current researcher at Kyoto University, expressed that using timber could pave the way for constructing habitats that support human life and work in space indefinitely. With timber, the material we can produce by ourselves, we will be able to build houses, live, and work in space forever, Doi said. Doi's team is working under a 50-year vision of building timber structures on the Moon and Mars, planting the seeds for future space-based infrastructure. The researchers opted for hinoki, a type of magnolia tree native to Japan traditionally, used for sword sheaths after conducting a 10-month experiment on the ISS. Hinoki proved its resilience, leading to its selection as the core material for LignoSat. The satellite was constructed using a traditional Japanese craft technique without screws or glue, showcasing innovation steeped in heritage. One of LignoSat's key roles in its 6-month orbit will be to measure the endurance of wood against extreme space temperatures, which oscillate from negative 100 to 100 degrees Celsius, or from negative 148 degrees Fahrenheit to up to 212 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's every 45 minutes as the satellite shifts from sunlight into darkness. The onboard sensors will also monitor how well wood mitigates space radiation's impact on semiconductors, information that could be pivotal for designing data centers and other space-based structures. Kenji Kariya of Sumioto Forestry emphasized the cutting-edge nature of this research, noting that despite appearing old-fashioned, wood could be integral to future space technology. The environmental benefits of using wood in space are significant. Unlike conventional metal satellites that produce polluting aluminum oxide particles upon re-entry, wood satellites would disintegrate more cleanly in Earth's atmosphere. A wooden satellite burns up with much less pollution compared to metal ones, Doi stated. This feature could be an advantage as the space industry grapples with sustainability and the proliferation of space debris. The team behind LignoSat is optimistic that their experiment could spur wider adoption of timber in space exploration. Doi even hinted at the potential for future partnerships, saying, if we can prove our first wooden satellite works, we want to pitch it to Elon Musk's SpaceX. The successful deployment of LignoSat could mark the beginning of a new era where traditional materials meet advanced space technology, reinvigorating the timber industry and pushing the boundaries of sustainable innovation in space exploration. Okay, for LignoSat, a downlink on 435.820 megahertz has been coordinated for CW 4800 GMSK AX25 telemetry and FM. For more info, you can go check it out at space.innovationkyoto.org/amateur-radio-operators. And, of course, that link's over there at amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce. And we want to thank Cantero Camilla and Irene Wang of Routers for that information. Okay, this is Marty WB5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, we're a little bit past the quarter past bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby, see if we have any more local check-ins on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. Come now.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, I think I heard Herbert. We're going to put you down. We got KD5PQJ. Herbert, you don't have a very good signal tonight, but I'm pretty sure I heard you out there. WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net.
Let's see. Open Weather App update to the web-based NOAA APT image decoder.
Dr. Sasha Engelman and Sophia Dyer, the team behind the Open Weather project, have recently announced the launch of their new version of Open Weather App, a web-based NOAA APT image decoder. The web-based program accepts a WAV file containing a NOAA satellite APT recording, demodulates and decodes it, and displays the resulting weather satellite image. Sasha writes, Open Weather App is the only public-maintained browser-based decoder for automatic picture transmissions, APT, from satellites NOAA 19, NOAA 18, and NOAA 15. It was developed to improve access to satellite signal decoding for all practitioners. We're excited to share a new and improved version available, and the new version includes the following updates and additional features. It has improved accuracy, decoding and finding sync positions, locates more sync positions than other comparable decoders. Okay, you can upload a WAV file of any sample rate. No more resampling with Audacity. There's an option to see the raw image without syncing and to find the syncs. There's an option to rotate 180 degrees, often useful for viewing images for nighttime passes. You can go deeper in your analysis, explore signal value and image value histograms. Can upload directly from Open Weather App to the public archive. Open Weather App is co-developed by Open Weather with Rectangle, Lizzie Malcolm, and Dan Powers, Bill Lyle, NQ6Z, and Grayson Earl. Complete information at open-weather.community/decode. And we'll thank RTL-SDR.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AmSat store. And when you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And I think they actually have a little bit of a discount worked out for you, too, by going this route compared to their regular prices. And you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware.
DL-123.
Okay, there are some changes to the AmSat TLE distribution for November the 29th, 2024. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information, and that's over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, the following satellite has been added to this week's AmSat TLE distribution, and that's AO-123, provisional catalog number 99130, and it's on an IARU coordinated downlink of 435.400 megahertz. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Hey, do you want to head out and fly the colors on your own grid expedition when you're chasing satellites? Well, you can get your AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.zazzle.com/AmSat_here. Okay, we're down to Earth News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in is on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Got a couple of completed contacts. South Carolina RWAs, the Regional Workforce Advisors in Columbia, South Carolina, had a contact direct via N4EE. ISS call sign was scheduled, was NA1SS. Crew member was Nick Hay, KG5TMV. The mentor is Don Hobson, K4CF. And the contact, Monday, December 2nd, 2024, at 1622 ETC. Okay, then there was the Sinfra-Paul College of Radio Electronics in Sinfra-Paul, Russia. and their call sign was scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. And the ARIS mentor is RV3DR. And the contact is Monday, December 2nd, 2024 at 1515 UTC. And then we've got the Colegio de Castanheiro, Ponta Delgata, and the Azores. And that was a contact direct via CQ8CDC. The ISS call sign was OR4ISS. The crew member, Don Petit, KD5MDT. The mentor, ARIS mentor, is Marcelo Turrell, IK0USO. And the contact was successful on Tuesday, November the 26th, 2024, at 1457 UTC. Okay, then we've got some upcoming contacts. We've got the, DEIP. NDX Duco, Escola, Hillahilla, Bilbao, Telebridge via OM4ISS. The ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS. The crew member is Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, out of putting it to work. Let's see, the ARIS mentor is Marcelo Turre, K0UFO. And the contact is a go for Wednesday, November the 4th, 2024 at 1147 UTC. We've got the State Budgetary Educational Institution, Voboryavye Gori in Moscow, Russia. Their ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with Alexander Gorbunov. The ARIS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is Thursday, December the 5th, 2024, at 1100 UTC. We've got Shiklikyovo, Russia. ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Alexei Opchinin. The ARIS mentor RV3DR contact is a go for Friday, December the 6th, 2024 at 1010 UTC. Okay, just one more of these I have to get through. Publicola, Pudsquawawa, M. Wallentego, Stefan Skego, W. Barzachowi, Barzachow, Poland, direct via SP7PQS. Sorry, SP7POS. Sorry, I butchered that name, I'm sure. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS. Crew member is Don Petit, KD5MDT. The mentor, Armin Buzkanowski, SP3QFE. And the contact is a go for Friday, December 6th, 2024 at 1149 UTC. Okay, the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up on the ISS, and the PL tone is on 67 Hz. And then there's a 437.800 MHz downlink. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise up the volume, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when the astronauts may actually be on talking. the packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 megahertz up and down. And as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction to generate your time for your location, or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed time. Okay, the latest information on the operation mode of the ISS can be found at www.ARRIS.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.ARRIS.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9M, one of the ARRIS operation team mentors, for that information.
CL-123.
Okay. We've got some upcoming satellite operations. It looks like Mitch is going to take a trip. We've got AD0HJ planning his 2024 rove to the Missouri Ozarks area between December the 5th and the 8th of 2024. And Mitch has never been to that area, so he's looking to do some sightseeing and activate 8 new satellite grid squares. That will be grids EM26 through EM28, EM36 through EM39, and EM30. He will be working RS-44 passes in the evenings. And you can see, go to the website, hams.at, for details. So we want to wish Mitch a great success there on his rove, and hope he makes many, many contacts. Okay, a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations, and that's on the website hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the max score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass. While also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. And we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AMSAT Rover Page Manager, and Alex Nurse, K6VHF, for that information. Hey, this is Marty, WB5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We've got some AMSAT ambassador activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AMFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. But we've got one event here left for the end of the year, and that's on December the 19th, 2024. The Central Kentucky Amateur Radio Society has their CCARS monthly meeting, and that's at 558 South Keeneland Drive, Richmond, Kentucky, 40475. And the URL is www.ckars.org/home. And we want to thank AI4SR.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
And also look for AI4SR there at the Central Kentucky Amateur Radio Society monthly meeting. Okay, then next year, February the 14th through the 15th, 2025. So that's right around when NASCAR is starting up again. And Valentine's Day is. We've got the Yuma HamCon and Southwestern Division Convention. And that's at the Yuma County Fairgrounds in Yuma, Arizona. And that's www.yumahamfest.com. And look for N1UW. Okay, if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, well, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites. They host information tables at club meetings, AMFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. NASA has confirmed that one of its greatest ever missions, Voyager 1, is back in business with communications restored following an incident in October that led to the veteran spacecraft losing its voice. When engineers commanded Voyager 1 to switch on one of its heaters to give the instruments a gentle thermal massage, a safety feature was tripped because of low power levels. It automatically switched off non-essential systems. The fault protection system took it upon itself to switch off the main X-band transmitter and then activate the lower power S-band transmitter instead. Because of the great distance between Voyager 1 and Earth, however, transmissions on the S-band antenna could not be heard by NASA's Deep Space Network, meaning that Voyager 1 had effectively fallen silent. NASA engineers were able to resolve the problem early in November, and X-band communication resumed on November the 18th, the spacecraft once again returning data from its four remaining instruments. Everything else is in the off mode, saving power. Read the complete story over at tinyurl.com/ans-336-voyager-1. And ANS thanks space.com for that information. Okay, and in addition to all the AMSAT Oscar 7 publicity in the news the last few weeks, AMSAT also received nice exposure about the ARIS program putting kids in contact with astronauts. You can read the complete story over on tinyurl.com/ans-336-ISS. And we want to thank space.com for that information. And, of course, again, thanks to Bruce. That link is available over at amsatnet.com. And he's also got additional information over there on how to get awards for making satellite contacts. So if you'd like to get some wallpaper up for satellite operating, you can just go over to amsatnet.com. And Bruce has got some good info there. And then, of course, there's more over at amsat.org. You can also find additional information about the status of the satellites, the frequencies that they're operating on, information about next year's symposium when that comes out, and then there is the AMSAT store where you can even buy those satellite antennas and work the satellites, make them sound a lot better. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group club. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space That's from this week's ANS editor, Frank Karnauskas, N1UW, and that's F.KARNAUSKAS at AMSAT.org. And we've reached the end of our time, so we hope everybody enjoyed this version of the AMSAT Met. I look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Good luck in those stores, getting those Christmas presents or holiday presents. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. And from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 from this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.